The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start off with something that's very interesting to our readers. The eyes are the prize. How to protect them and preserve your vision. This is from the Healthy section. We watch our salt and fat intake to protect our hearts. We exercise and take calcium to protect our bones. We slather on sunscreen to protect our skin. But what can we do to protect our eyes? Turns out, quite a lot. We asked experts what lifestyle steps people should be taking to protect their vision and eye health. Spring for some quality shades. Protecting the eyes from ultraviolet light, sunlight, is very important, says Essen Aspeck, MD, an ophthalmology professor at Johns Hopkins University. It's one of the biggest things in our environment to have an impact on your eyes. Ultraviolet light has been shown to have an effect on cataract development and macular degeneration. To shield your eyes, wear sunglasses certified to block out 99% to 100% of the UVA and UV light. Surprisingly, dark lenses aren't necessarily the most protective. In fact, if the lenses are dark but not UV protected, that's worse for your eyes, because when you're looking through dark lenses, your pupils dilate, which lets more UV light inside to do damage, says Dr. Akpek. And some sport glasses. You don't have to be doing construction or factory work to need protective eyewear. Gardening, yard work, home repairs, and sports all pose the risk of trauma to the eye. The American Academy of Ophthalmology, AAO, recommends sports glasses with polycarbonate lenses, which resist shattering, and eye protectors that have been tested to meet the American Society of Testing and Materials, ASTM, standards. I see people who've been gardening, leaning forward and gotten poked in the eye by a branch, says David Grover, MD, an ophthalmologist in Glaucoma Associates of Texas, or people working in the yard with weed whackers or lawnmowers that have caused objects like rocks to hit them in the eye. Take a break from screens. The AAO says there's no scientific evidence that the light from electronic screens damages your eyes, but staring at screen can leave eyes fatigued and may even blur your vision. The National Institutes of Health recommends taking a break every 20 minutes to look at something about 20 feet away for 20 seconds. Glasses that block blue light don't seem to do the trick, according to multiple studies, says Dr. Akpek. One reason for eye fatigue during screen use is that people tend to blink less when staring at computer screens. I didn't know that. And that can lead to dryness. One of the best ways to prevent that is hydration with water. 4 or 5 glasses a day, says Dr. Grover. If you feel your eyes are dry or getting tired, or your vision is occasionally blurred, use a lubricating eye drop. Eat for your eyes. Research shows that foods rich in vitamin C, vitamin E, zinc, lutein, zeaxanthin, and omega-3 fatty acids are linked to lower risk for age-related macular degeneration, cataracts, and maybe even dry eye. For omega-3 fatty acids, look for fish like salmon, tuna, and halibut. For lutein and zeaxanthin, eat dark leafy greens like spinach, kale, and collard greens. For lots of vitamin C, grab citrus, strawberries, tomatoes, red and green peppers, and broccoli. For vitamin E, choose peanuts, almonds, sunflower seeds, avocado, pumpkin, and asparagus. For zinc, good sources are beef, fortified cereals, especially oysters. That's not a cereal. You can skip supplements that claim to boost eyes, says Dr. Grover. Stop those bad habits. First, the obvious. Smoking isn't just bad for your lungs. It can harm eyes, too. Smoking is terrible, says Dr. Akpek. It causes dry eyes, makes thyroid eye disease worse, and correlates with severe macular degeneration. Smoking also increases the risk of cataracts and can harm the optic nerve. Also, try not to rub your eyes. Rubbing makes inflammation worse, says Dr. Akpek. The more you rub, the more itchy your eyes will get. And rubbing has been linked to thinning and bulging of the cornea. It can lead to infections. Instead, take medications or use drops for allergies or dry eyes, says Dr. Grover. Repair the air. Indoor heating and air conditioning can dry out the air and the eyes. Outdoor cold and wind can be drying, too. While pollution and allergies can cause irritation, in addition to lubricating eye drops, air purifiers and humidifiers are our friends, says Dr. Akpek. Finally, don't forget to see eye specialists about a checkup. Not all eye problems are noticeable, and all are best treated when found early. For most people, unless there are noticeable problems, the AAO recommends a baseline exam by an ophthalmologist at age 40, and then follow-up is recommended by the doctor, says Dr. Grover. For more information on how to protect and care for your eyes, visit the AAO's patient website, eyesmart.org. And I'll agree with that 40-year-old thing. And if any of you are listening and you have family members who haven't had their eyes checked at 40, they certainly should. Because I remember when I turned 40, my eye doctor said, in about 2 years, you're going to need glasses. And doggone if it wasn't almost exactly 2 years later, I needed glasses. News from the World of Medicine by Samantha Rideout. Craving caffeine? Why don't you try decaf? If you love your coffee but worry about consuming too much caffeine, you will be reassured to know that research indicates that regular coffee is a low-risk stimulant. It might even offer some protection against type 2 diabetes and Parkinson's disease. But it could also cause heartburn, jitters, or insomnia. So if you are trying to quit or cut back on caffeine, try decaf. An Australian study shows that drinking decaffeinated coffee can alleviate withdrawal symptoms such as headaches, fatigue, and irritability. This surprising result probably tapped into the placebo effect. Even when people knew they were drinking decaf, it looked, smelled, and tasted like the real thing, which they associated with feeling alert and well. The price of procrastination. That's one of my serious problems. More than just a lazy habit, procrastination can be bad for your health, suggests a study of more than 3,500 students in Sweden. Over 9 months, those who habitually delayed important tasks experienced more anxiety and depression, poor sleep, and a pain in the neck, shoulders, and back. Fortunately, cognitive behavioral therapy, either in person or through books and websites, can help. Strategies include learning to break down big goals into smaller ones and managing distractions. For example, turning off your smartphone until you've finished a task. The upside of commuting. People who work from home know the rub. For all that it costs in time and money, commuting to and from a job provides an opportunity to disengage from work before jumping into the responsibilities of home life. This in-between time can help prevent burnout, according to a report in Organizational Psychology Review. Obviously, this works best if you can take public transit or opt for an easy drive instead of a busy road, and if you use the time well, perhaps to do something fun and relaxing, such as listening to music. Chronic pain and antidepressants. For more than two decades, doctors have been describing depression medications for ongoing pain, which is notoriously hard to treat. In fact, data from a cross-section of countries, the U.S. and Canada, Taiwan, and the U.K., shows that among seniors, antidepressants are used for pain more often than depression. Actually, I know somebody that works for. Most of these prescriptions are off-label, meaning they are not officially approved for this purpose. And this treatment isn't as strange as it may sound. Antidepressants affect neurotransmitters, including those that send pain signals to the brain. A new BMJ review synthesized 156 trials involving about 25,000 participants to get an overview of what we've learned so far about treating chronic pain with antidepressants. Although tricyclics are the most commonly used antidepressant drug class for pain, it's unclear if they really help. But the review did find evidence that SNRI, serotonin and norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors, antidepressants can help relieve people with fibromyalgia, nerve pain, postoperative pain, and chronic back pain. I have a friend who has fibromyalgia, and those things really work. Purple power. For an extra boost of good health, reach for vegetables that are red or purple in color. Radishes, purple potatoes, red cabbage, purple carrots, eggplants, purple cauliflower, and red onion all contain anthocyanins, a type of antioxidant that can help lower blood pressure and may slow cancer growth. A new study review from Finland says these veggies also reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes by affecting energy metabolism, gut microbiota, tiny organisms including bacteria, and inflammation. Red dish fruits such as blueberries, strawberries, and blackberries contain anthocyanins too, but the research shows that the kind found in vegetables are particularly powerful. How about some laughter? The best medicine. Kevin walks into a bar in Boston and orders three shots of scotch. He solemnly downs each one, pays up, then leaves. The next day he does the same. On the third day, the bartender asks why the three shots. Well, said Kevin, it's one for me and one for each of my brothers, Dennis in Seattle and Hank in Dallas. It makes me feel like we're still drinking together. But a month later, Kevin only orders two shots of scotch. I hate to ask, says the bartender, but one of your brothers died? Oh, no, 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 says Kevin. I've just decided to stop drinking. Once there was a man named Odd. All his life he was teased and mocked because of his strange name. It got so bad that on his deathbed he insisted his headstone be blank, lest he live with that name for all eternity. He got his wish. The day of his funeral, the gravedigger arrived looking for the correct plot. When he spotted the blank headstone, he scratched his head and thought, "That's odd." Oh, God, that was awful. No one in the history of the English language has ever said anything respectful falling with all due respect. I'm a positive person. To me, going bald is not about hair loss. It's about face gain. It's not a receding hairline. It's advancing facial frontier. It's exciting. One day I'll have a whole head of face. I'm working on that. Yiddish curses are famously detailed and nasty. Case in point. May you be so rich your widow's husband never has to work a day. There are three from modern times from the book Shem Yogel by Daniel Klein, Chronicle Books. After walking 12 blocks with your thighs squeezed together in desperate search for a public restroom, may you find one at a fancy restaurant but be barred from entering because you aren't wearing a tie. May your health insurance provider decide that constipation is a pre-existing condition. You should emerge from the desert scorched and parched to find you a luxury hotel with 1,000 empty rooms. But they don't expect Amex extra points. A reporter, interviewing a man celebrating his 110th birthday, asked, "What's the secret of your longevity?" "No matter what, I never argue with anyone," says the elderly man. "Surely there must be more than that," insists the reporter. "What about factors like genetics, diet, and exercises?" The old man shrugs, "Maybe you're right." "What's a couple?" "I asked my mom. She said 2 or 3, which probably explains why her marriage collapsed." Making memories, how we remember and how not to forget. The last time my husband and I went out for an elegant restaurant dinner, the server came to our table and began to recite a long list of specials, with detailed descriptions of how the dishes were made and where the ingredients had been sourced. Her recitation went on, and as she spoke, I became almost more interested in how she could remember all those descriptions than I was in thinking about the food. Meanwhile, I couldn't remember where I'd put my keys before we left the restaurant. The good news is not remembering where you put your keys is generally not a sign of incipient dementia, and on the flip side, being able to remember a long list of restaurant specials isn't necessarily a sign of extraordinary mental ability, either. Memory is far more complicated than those two examples would ever show, and there's a wide range of what is considered normal. While most of us are terrified about developing dementia, fewer than 10% of adults aged 65 and older will wind up with dementia such as Alzheimer's. Developing a neurodegenerative condition like Alzheimer's is not what we consider healthy normal aging, says Joel Salinas, M.D., behavioral neurologist at NYU Langone Health and chief medical officer of Isaac Health, a memory clinic. While some memory loss is normal as people age, he said it's not the kind of decline that interferes with the ability to live your life. And he adds there are areas that actually improve with age. Vocabulary is one. The other is the theory of mind and perspective taking, which some people call wisdom. Jessica Swirling, M.D., director of the Center of Excellence for Alzheimer's Disease at Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York, compares the effect of aging on memory as a kind of like getting traffic on the brain. It may take longer to retrieve a word. It may come to you later. The speed of processing can go down, but your hippocampus, the part of the brain the most associated with memory, should be functioning. The hippocampus is where memories are created and cataloged, but it doesn't work alone. The amygdala, next to the hippocampus, singles out certain memories as being important, and the memories themselves are scored in various sections of the cerebral cortex, the outer layer of the brain. Memory is all these different brain networks working in concert with each other, says Dr. Salinas. While genetics and family history play some role in risk of memory problems, so do plenty of other factors. Addressing many of these may help your memory sharper. Memory boosters. The brain may be the place that memories are stored, but it doesn't exist in a vacuum. The health and efficiency of the brain depends a lot on the general health of the body. To put it succinctly, what's good for the body is good for the brain. Many of the lifestyle factors that could boost memory are the same that have a positive effect on general health. Taking steps to improve your lifestyle in any of the following four areas will help keep your mind sharp and your body strong. Exercise. Regular physical exercise doesn't just build muscles and keep weight in check. It also protects memory and thinking skills. Exercise helps improve blood vessel health and blood flow. That helps with the activity of brain cells and also helps reduce the risk of brain inflammation, says Dr. Salinas. It also helps brain cells repair themselves and their connections to our other brain cells. Studies bear this out. Research at the University of British Columbia found that regular aerobic exercise, the kind that increases your heart rate, also increases the size of the brain's hippocampus. And a University of Maryland study found that memory improved in both cognitively healthy older adults and those with mild cognitive impairment after a 12-week exercise program. If you're not into running or even fast walking, how about dancing? It turns out that taking a dance class may be one of the best activities you could do for your brain. Dr. Zwilling's colleagues at the Albert Einstein School of Medicine looked at the effects of physical activity on preventing cognitive decline and memory loss and found that ballroom dancing was particularly effective. At the University of Illinois at Chicago, Latin ballroom dance program for older sedentary adults had similar results, finding improvement in memory, attention, and focus. Dancing combines physical activity, learning something new, and social engagement, says Dr. Salinas. The more of these factors an activity has, the better off you'll be. Diet. Many people probably recall their mothers telling them to eat fish because it's brain food. I remember when I learned in school that the brain actually runs on glucose, which is a form of sugar. Aha! I told my mother. Fish isn't brain food. Chocolate is brain food. My mother didn't buy it, and she was right. While the brain does run on glucose, it's healthier for the body and brain to get sugar from fruits and vegetables, not from products with added sugars like sweet pastries and candy. Too much sugar restricts blood flow to the brain and can even cause brain atrophy. The real brain foods are those that reduce inflammation and promote cardiovascular health. In 2015, doctors from Rush University Medical Center and the Harvard Chan School of Public Health published an eating plan aimed at preserving cognitive function, called MIND, Mediterranean-Intervention for Neurogenitive Delay, diet. It's a hybrid of the Mediterranean and the DASH, dietary approaches to hypertension diets. The MIND diet emphasizes brain-healthy foods such as whole grains, vegetables, nuts, beans, berries, poultry, and fish. Yes, Mom was right. Sweets, sadly, are on the brain-unhealthy foods list, along with foods high in saturated and trans fat, including red meat, cheese, fried foods, butter, and margarine. Studies have shown that the MIND diet, even when followed moderately rather than perfectly, significantly reduces the risk of developing neurodegenerative diseases, including Alzheimer's. Sleep. Sleep is critical for memory formation, especially long-term memory formation, says Dr. Salinas, explaining that sleep is when memories are processed and stored. When you're asleep, the brain runs the tape of what it recorded during the day, gets rid of information that isn't relevant, and then stores other information for the long term. That explains why people with undiagnosed sleep apnea or other sleep disorders are at higher risk of developing cognitive disorders like Alzheimer's. The more you can keep regular sleep schedule and get at least 7 hours each night, the better off your brain and the rest of you will be. Challenging your brain. Maybe you're an avid bridge player, a crossword puzzle fanatic, or someone who regularly attends local college lectures. All of those activities, many other mentally engaging ones, can help keep our minds active. To get the most memory boost out of puzzles or intellectual activities, though, the key is to keep things fresh and challenging. For instance, if you'd mastered one type of brain teaser puzzle, move on to another. If you're the family checkers champion, decide to master chess. Learning a new language is often cited as an ideal activity for brain health. New and challenging, important because that's what helps form new pathways in the brain, helping information go from one part of the brain to another, says Dr. Salinas. Memory busters, medical conditions. The brain requires a rich blood supply to deliver the nutrients and oxygen it needs. So cardiovascular health, the health of the heart and blood vessels, is crucial. Have your blood pressure and cholesterol checked regularly and treated if high. Hypothyroidism, my tongue is getting twisted here, my apologies. Hypothyroidism is another medical condition that can cause a temporary slowdown in thinking. The thyroid is kind of a gatekeeper for all metabolic functions, says Dr. Zwirling. Low thyroid hormone levels can affect memory and concentration, leaving people feeling they have brain fog. Two other fairly common conditions that potentially affect memory. Dehydration can cause temporary memory problems by limiting blood flow to the brain. And deficiency in vitamin B12 can result in temporary memory loss or dementias, since the vitamin helps produce red blood cells, and a deficiency restricts oxygen delivery to the brain. Treating any of the above conditions, which can be something as simple as drinking more water during the day to prevent dehydration, or taking thyroid medication or B12 supplements, can restore memory function. Mental health is also brain health. Anxiety and depression can get in the way of the brain functioning, says Dr. Salinas. Levels of serotonin, a brain hormone, decrease, affecting attention and memory. Again, treating the underlying problem may have the added benefit of helping restore brain and memory function. Medications. The first thing I look at is the medications they're taking. Tatiana Gurvich, PharmD, Associate Professor of Clinical Pharmacy at the University of Southern California, says of older adults who mention memory problems. Cognitive impairment is one of the most common medication side effects. It can be caused by a single drug or several drugs taken in combination. While drug side effects can affect younger people, they're more common in seniors. There are definitely medications that can cause cognitive slippage and confusion, says Gurvich. Some are over-the-counter. She cites sedating antihistamines like diphenhydramine, Benadryl, as a common culprit, and warns that the drug is sometimes added to pain relievers or cold cough remedies, so it's important that people read labels carefully. Many prescription medications, too, may have cognitive side effects. These include some drugs used for incontinence, irritable bowel syndrome, depression, diarrhea, and cough, says Dr. Gurvich. Others that have been flagged include anti-anxiety drugs, cholesterol drugs, anti-seizure drugs, neurotic, narcotic painkillers, drugs to treat Parkinson's disease, hypertension drugs, and sleeping aids. That's a whole bunch of stuff. What's important, says Gurvich, to let your physician know all of the medications you're taking, including some over-the-counter medication. If you're worried about cognitive impairment, better still, she says, to have a medication check with a physician at least every 6 months to a year. Fortunately, Gurvich says the kind of cognitive impairment or memory problems caused by medication is usually reversible, meaning that when you stop taking the medication, your memory should return to normal. Alcohol and cannabis. Using alcohol and or cannabis regularly can cause cognitive slippage, including memory problems, especially in older people. Some adults, when they were younger, used to have a couple of alcoholic drinks at night, and they continue to do that as they age. That may be too much of an older person and could lead to cognitive impairment, says Gurvich. The same, she says, for chewing marijuana. Older people who may have used cannabis in the 60s or 70s are excited that it's become legal, but they have to understand that it's a very different substance, not the same stuff they smoked when they were teenagers. With marijuana so much more potent now than it was decades ago, she says. If they're using it regularly, it absolutely could cause cognitive slippage. Stress. Stress can create an inflammatory state and affect memory, which is why stress management is important, says Dr. Zwirling. Stress floods the system with hormones to meet that stress, which isn't really conducive to deliberate deep thinking, says Dr. Salinas. And it doesn't have to be major stress to have that effect. Smaller stresses, a lot of little stresses that build up a day to day, can affect thinking too. Dr. Salinas advises that having a strategy to cope with stress will have an impact on your brain health. Meditation, yoga, social engagement, phoning or texting a friend for emotional support. Whatever you have to do to get right out of that fright or flight state. Can you train your brain to remember? If you're generally healthy, you've addressed a lot of these issues already, but you're still not feeling as sharp as you'd like. You forgot the name of someone you'd met before. Common problem with me. Or maybe you're tired of looking for your glasses again. Call it brain fog, mommy brain, or COVID brain, or just general distraction, whatever it is, you'd like it to go away. Daniel Schnechter, PhD, professor of psychology at Harvard University, and author of The Seven Sins of Memory, How the Mind Forgets and Remembers, they explain that there are three reasons, unrelated to age or dementia, why people forget things. One is transient, the natural tendency for memories to fade over time. Another is absent-mindedness. If you're not really focused on what you're doing, you don't encode the memory to remember it later. And the third is blocking, when information is available and you're paying attention, but you're blocked. It's on the tip of your tongue, but you can't pull it up. Boy, that's a problem. And he says there are different solutions for addressing each of these problems. For transients, one of the easiest things you can do is just try to engage in what people in our field call retrieval practice. Retrieving a memory is one of the most effective ways to make it last over time, says Schachter. He compares it to reviewing your photos after you go on vacation. You're reactivating experiences and strengthening your memory for them. Schachter describes a study comparing one group of people who were asked to read a story and told there would be a test about it later to another group of people who asked to read the story three times but not told there would be a test. Result, the people who were told they'll be tested remember the story much better later on. You don't need an external tester, says Schrader. You can self-test. For instance, if you've just been introduced to somebody and you want to remember their name, bring the name to mind, then wait a bit. Then bring it to mind again and wait a little longer, and so on and so on. For absent-mindedness, where did I put my keys, my glasses, kind of forgetfulness, says Schachter. It's not age-related, unless it becomes extreme to the point you can't function in your everyday life. I'm prone to these kind of errors as much as anyone else. To address this issue, Schachter suggests using the environment and external cues. For instance, I find it helpful to have a place in my house to always put my keys and glasses, and be mindful about not putting them elsewhere, he says. And for things like forgetting appointments, modern technology offers us ways to offload our memories. Use your phone or your laptop to record dates and set reminders for yourself, he suggests. For blocking, blocking on names and faces is among the most common memory complaints, particularly as people get older. Unfortunately, by the time blocking has occurred, it's probably too late to do much about it, says Schachter. But you can be proactive and anticipate situations where blocking may occur. The names we block on most are usually people we're familiar with, but haven't seen recently, or don't see frequently. So if you know you're going to a party and will see a lot of people you're familiar with, but haven't seen in a long time, try to find out in advance who's going to be there and review the names, he says. The thing to remember about memory, pun intended, is that there are many different factors that could affect it, and just as many ways to sharpen it. As for me, I'm now taking a Spanish class, trying to work out more and more, and keeping my keys in the same place always. I'm trying to follow the mind diet a bit, too, but I haven't given up chocolates yet, and I've refused to believe it's not brain food. And with that, let's switch over to Consumer Reports and try the top laundry detergents. See how well 65 liquids, pads, and sheets handle the toughest stains out there. You may have noticed a tsunami of new products lining the shelves of your supermarket laundry detergent aisle. The packages promise to work wonders on every laundry challenge, even to protect the environment. These detergents come in more forms than ever, too. In addition to liquids and pods, there are now paper-like detergent sheets or strips. Just saw an ad for one of those. And you'll find laundry enhancers, including pre-wash stain removers, whiteners, and scent boosters. To help you sort through the options, Consumer Reports has tested 65 liquids, pods, and sheets to see how well they handle tough stains, including grass, chocolate, and even blood. What works, what doesn't? The Miners liquid detergents, which consistently top our ratings. When it comes to removing the tough stains we use in our tests, the best liquid detergents outperform the best pods. Detergent sheets have a long way to go before they even equal the lowest rated liquid and pods detergent, says Richard Handel. We found that some terms we see on detergent packages, stain fighting or oxy, for example, don't always mean much. Some so-called stain fighting detergents don't fight stains well at all, while others live up to their names admirably. Your smartest move, rely on the ratings that we have on page 22, rather than on cleansing claims on our products. Our cleaning scores aren't based on labeling. They're developed from comparative testing on fabrics with standardized stains. Liquid detergents make up the largest share of the detergent market, which is why CR tests more of them than pods or sheets. The top two liquids in our ratings, Tide Plus Ultra Stain Release, 28 cents per load, and Persile Co-Clean Strain Fighter, 21 cents per load, do a great job of tackling stains. Both A-star tests for removing body oil, dirt, salad dressing, and chocolate, and both work well when we pre-treated stains with them. Our testing reveals that dabs of liquid detergent can act as an effective stain remover, as good as or better than special stain remover sprays. Keep in mind that using more detergent in each load does not necessarily get your clothes cleaner. In fact, adding too much can leave a residue on your laundry and in your machine that does not get rinsed away. How much detergent you should use on get on your clothes clean depends on the load size, the cycle you're using, the water temperature, and the detergent itself. To avoid using too much detergent, start with the smallest amount specified on the label. You can always add more next time if you don't get the results you want. What's good and bad about pods? Detergent pods encase concentrated cleaning agents in a pouch of a polyvinyl alcohol, PVA, a non-toxic plastic polymer designed to dissolve in water, dispensing ingredients at specific points in the cycle. Introduced by Tide maker Procter & Gamble in 2012, the convenient no-need-to-measure format provided Popular and other brands to launch their own versions. As pods are pods as effective as they easy to use? Actually, no. Half of the pods we tested cleaned well, but none stands up to the top liquids in our ratings. The best pods? Tide Hygienic Clean Heavy Duty 10X Power Pods, 33 cents per load. They earned high scores in 6 of our 7 stain tests. Just don't bank on them to get out every coffee stain. There are other cons. Pods don't allow you to prefer pre-treat strains before laundry, and it's harder to adjust dosing for different size loads. If you don't follow the directions correctly, the pod may not fully dissolve and can leave streaks of detergent in your clothes. Also, colorful pods could be mistaken for candy, so CRS does not recommend them for households with children or cognitively impaired adults. Can eco-friendly detergents get clothes clean? If you're worried that doing laundry may harm the environment, detergent sheets aren't your only option. Some liquids and pods perform at non-toxic, free, and clear formulas, sometimes free of parabens, phosphates, bleaches, dyes, and fragrances designed to be less polluting as well as gentler on your skin. But you may have to compromise on cleaning power. Cleaning agents in sustainable detergents tend not to be effective as those in traditional formulas as handle. Sensitive formulas range from the relatively high-scoring Persil ProClean Sensitive Skin, 37 cents per load, which proved excellent at cleaning body oil, salad dressing, and chocolate, to Harm & Hammer Sensitive Skin, 12 cents per load, near the bottom of our liquid ratings. Body oil was the only stand it removed well. CR tested 5 popular liquid detergents, both standard and gentle formulas and toxic substances considered harmful to human health and the environment. Those included the suspected carcinogen, 1,4-dioxaniner, heavy metals, arsenic, cadmium, and lead, phthalates, which can cause reproductive and neurological problems, and the environmental pollutant phosphorus. None of the detergents had alarming levels of these substances. We detected no toxic chemicals traces in the free and clear detergents, including 7th generation free and clear liquid sensitive skin, 17 cents per load, and all free stain lifter with odor relief, 70 cents per load. You can also look for EPA Safer Choice label as you shop. The trouble with sheets. Sometimes called detergent strips, these paper-like sheets of concentrated detergent dissolve in the wash. Because they come in a box, not a plastic container like liquids or pods, the companies behind EarthBreeze, Eco's Kind Laundry, and True Earth tour them as eco-friendly. They also point out that the package's smaller size and weight cuts down on emissions generated by transporting the conventional heavy bottles and boxes to the market. These manufacturers often claim that the sheets are hypoallergenic because they're free of parabens, phosphates, bleaches, and dyes, which can irritate the skin. Eco-friendly and gentle or not, detergent sheets fell short on our test. Their stain removal performance ranged from mostly from mediocre to poor, with coffee stains a particular weakness. The top-rated product in our ratings, EarthBreeze Liquidus Eco Sheets, at 40 cents per load, has an overall score of 29, about the same as the worst liquid or pod detergent we evaluated. At between 20 cents and 40 cents per load, sheets are roughly the same price as liquids or pods. Laundry experts you can skip. Don't be fooled by the labels with big promises. Some additives don't make your clothes any cleaner. In fact, that pleasant scent or soft touch could leave skin-irritating residue on everything you wash. Stain remover sprays and sticks can be effective pretreatments, but our pros say that little laundry detergent applied directly to a stain works as well as and costs less. Fabric softeners coat laundry with electrically charged compounds that neutralize static clean and make fibers feel soft and fluffy, but they can reduce flame resistance in kids' sleepwear, leaving a waxy residue that will negate the sweat-wicking properties of workout clothes and lead to mold growth in washing machines. Whiteners and brighteners use blue-white dyes and optical brightness to reduce yellowing and fading, but many detergents, like Tide Ultra Oxy 27 cents per load, already include whitening agents that may improve brightness. Scent boosters may add a scent and eliminate odors, but these pricey fragrances can be allergens. How to remove tough stains. The longer a stain remains, the harder it is to remove, so try to treat a spot as soon as possible. Start by determining your stain type, grease, dirt, makeup. Use the tips below to remove 5 common stains. Fabrics matter too. Cotton and linen may require pre-treatment prior to laundering, while a regular trip through the wash could do the trick for synthetics. You can use a stain remover spray or dab on a bit of detergent. Both are effective. Number 1. Check the care label. Review care labels before treating or washing clothes. Some stains require hot water, which may not be suitable for certain fabrics, and dry clean only means you should avoid the washing altogether. Blot the spot. Use a paper towel or clean white cloth to dab up messes, blot stains from the outer edges towards the center. Number 3. Dab with detergent. To pre-treat, add a little of the top-rated detergent directly onto the stain, then rub it in or gently scrub with a soft bristled toothbrush. Finally, launder in your machine. And number 4. Be patient. Keep repeating these steps until the stain is gone. If you toss the item into the dryer, the heat may set the stain. 5 solutions for stubborn stains. Oil and grease. Blot first, then pre-treat with a detergent, dab it on, or stain remover spray. Launder in the warmest water safe for the fabric. Repeat steps as needed before drying. Heat sets these stains. Wine, coffee, and tea. Flush the back of the fabric with cold water, then rub detergent or stain remover spray into the stain. Wash with the warmest water the label recommends. Ketchup and tomato sauce. Red tomato pigment acts as a dye, and any oil, like in pasta sauce, saturates and sticks to fabric fibers. Saturate the area with detergent and wash in cold water. Makeup. Don't have to worry about that. Makeup's long-lasting pigments and emollients make it tough to remove. Blot with acetone-based nail polish remover, then try a store-bought cleaning solvent such as Alba or Goo Gone. Grass, dirt, and mud. Brush off any dry dirt or mud. Apply detergent directly to the stain and rub gently. Wait 5 minutes, then launder in the warmest water indicated for the fabric. What I find kind of interesting about this whole thing is that they don't do anything about the powders. Anyway, the top liquids are Tide Plus Ultra Stain Release, Persil Pro Clean Stain Fighter, Tide Ultra Oxy, Tide Hygienic Clean Heavy Duty 10X, Persil Pro Clean Plus Oxy Power, Persil Pro Clean Odor Fighter, Persil Pro Clean Original, Tide Alti Extra with Odor Eliminators, Kirkland Signature at Costco, Ultra Clean Liquid, and Purcell Pro Clean Sensitive Skin. As far as pods pack, the top are Tide Hygienic Clean Heavy Duty 10X Power Pods, Tide Ultra Oxy with Eliminator Pods, Tide Plus Hygienic Clean 10X Heavy Duty Power Pods, Tide Pods Ultra Oxy 4-in-1, and Tide Pods Febreze at 4-in-1. And Sheets and Strip is Earth Breeze, but none of these get very good scores. Sheets, Liquided Laundry Detergent Sheets, Eco's Liquidless Laundry Detergent Squares, Kind Laundry Laundry Detergent Sheets, Eco-Wise Clean Laundry Detergent Sheets, and Tri-Earth, True Earth Eco Strips. New ways to sell your stuff. From Craigslist to eBay and beyond, there's how to turn your cast-off into cash. Americans have a lot of stuff in our closets, basements, attics, garages, and in some 2 billion square feet of rental self-storage space. And a lot of that stuff, whether it's been inherited, acquired over a lifetime, or delivered to our door during the pandemic, is overflow we want to get rid of. But beyond honoring the time-tested tradition of the neighborhood yard sale or hauling it all to the local consignment shop or simply donating it, what are the best ways these days to shed objects and may get some return on your investment? There's eBay, of course, the peer-to-peer online seller pioneered in 1995 that's still a behemoth. It has 133 million active users, and in 2022, nearly $74 billion worth of goods were traded there. But its huge reach doesn't automatically qualify it as the best place to sell, says a player piano you inherited or a pair of Gucci loafers. There's a galaxy of online resellers in what's called the re-commerce market that specialize in particular types of secondhand goods, whether furniture, apparel, sporting goods, and more. Altogether, the market is enormous, projected to reach $289 billion in sales by 2027, according to a report from the mobile selling platform OfferUp. It also found that 25% of Americans used reselling as a secondary source of income in 2022. To be clear, Decluttering with the aim to turn trash into treasure can be a lot of work. Before you start, reflect on whether you have the bandwidth and time for it, or whether you're better off just having this stuff hauled away for you, says Jeanetta Crawford, a professional organizer whose company project Move in Allentown, Pennsylvania, helps people downsize and clear out homes of deceased relatives. Pro organizers charge about $75 to $100 an hour. You can call local charities that run resale shops or find new purposes for used goods to see whether they'll take the stuff off your hands. If you decide to do it yourself, before you start, search recalls.gov to make sure nothing you're selling has been recalled, which is illegal as well as unsafe. Here are some other tips to make the job worth it. Find the right buyer. There's somebody looking for every type of thing you can imagine, says Crawford, who sometimes sells clients cast off on eBay. The trick, she says, is to figure out the best platform for each item, knowing the different levels of effort required in terms of marketing and getting it to its new owner, and the different costs and commissions. How money changes hands also varies, with many sites handling the financial end and others leaving it to you. So you need to consider not only what you're selling, but how much help you want and how much of the proceeds you want to keep. For Ticity Gamblin of Greenbrier, Tennessee, the platform of choice is Poshmark. If eBay is the general store of Internet, Poshmark is the corner boutique, with 80 million registered users buying and selling primarily new and secondhand clothes and accessories. Before committing to the platform, Gamblin researched it to see what other people were selling and how they marketed their wares. She posted a listing. The first thing I sold was a T-shirt, just a basic T-shirt. I was on cloud nine, she says. Gamblin's Poshmark store, Spiff with Tiff, now has over 41,000 followers and 700 listings of her surplus items, plus things she sourced specifically for resale. She manages her store, creating the listings with photos and managing fulfillment while working full-time as a clinical trial director at a medical office. The platform handles buyers' payments and sends sellers prepaid shipping labels to use. Gamblin says that after paying Poshmark the small commission it takes on each transaction, about 20% of the sale price, she's earned $3,400 in just under a year. A decent haul, for considering she lists mode items for under $30. Art Deco deals in home decor and furniture, including high-end pieces like an Aero Serenian for Knoll Oval Dining Table for $11,440 retail, listed at $7,000. An entire 500 and under section filled with everyday furniture. Sellers fill out an online questionnaire with details about the item they're offering before uploading photos. The site can enhance the images, for example, by silhouetting the item and suggests pricing. It also manages the money end, so you don't have to. There's an option for sellers and buyers to exchange messages, but it's all done through the website. When your item sells, the buyer can pick it up, or Art Deco can arrange for it to be delivered for a fee. The company keeps up to 48% of the sale, however. On the other end of the spectrum is Craigslist, which is free to use except in certain places and for items in a few categories, including motor vehicles. But if you're on your own for listing items, communicating with potential buyers and arranging pickup or drop-off and payment listing it. Once you set it on a platform, the next step to creating your listing. While particulars vary depending on the site you're selling on, there are some general guidelines. Price it right. Many platforms allow you to search previous sales of similar items to determine the going rate for any given thing. Using them, you might be surprised about how much your old junk is worth. A recent eBay search sold items uncovered in 80% full 6.5-ounce Bath & Body Works lotion in the beloved but no longer available Aromatherapy Optimism Bright Blossom scent that went for $24.99 plus shipping. If you have something of value you can't evaluate that way, you may want to call in a pro. Use the member directory of the Appraisers Association of America to find someone who, for a fee, can assess your item's value. Expect to pay anywhere from $25 to over $300 an hour for an appraiser to do this, according to Home Advisor, which connect homeowners to service professionals. If you have an in-demand item you think will inspire lots of interest that could drive up the price, instead of setting a price, you may want to try selling it at auction, an option on eBay. You can set a reserve or minimum price you're willing to accept to safeguard against the item selling too cheaply. Auction listings on eBay are active for 1 to 10 days, while buy it now or fixed price sales don't expire. On eBay and any other commerce sites, you can also allow potential buyers to make you an offer. Poshmark often lets you set up a live online auction to hawk your wares. Headlines matter. Descriptive headlines attract buyers. So write ones that help shoppers doing keyword searches on the site find what you're selling. Your item is likely to move faster if instead of blue cardigan you write, women's medium navy blue cropped V-neck 100% cotton cardigan. You can also include key terms like gently used, vintage, or NWT, new with tags. Be honest in the product description. Clearly disclose the condition of the item you're selling and the materials it's made of. A good practice is to underpromise and overdeliver. So be sure to point out flaws if there are any and provide accurate measurements. Use photos. Make sure to include numerous clear and well-lit images that make your item look attractive. Photos should be taken from multiple angles, top to bottom, back to front. Iron clothing items and lay them flat, or better yet, put them on a tailor's form. Where appropriate, style the photo, for example, by using interesting or colorful backgrounds. Prompt. Be responsive. Prompt communication and clear answers will reassure buyers that you're engaged and motivated to sell. Opt for alerts from the platform to make sure you don't leave potential buyers on set for a long time. Set a time limit for how long you'll keep the listing active until the item sells. Where to do your selling. Once you've figured out what you want to sell, you need to decide where to sell it. Here's a sampling of some of the biggest reselling sites in the U.S. with info on what each specializes in and how much they charge for the service. eBay, the superstore of Internet reselling. It was founded in 1995. Its scope is global, with 1.8 billion active listings and 133 million registered users. Listing fee. Sellers get 250 free listings a month, then pay 35 cents per listing. Commission. It varies from 3% or more, depending on the product category and sale price, plus 30 cents per sale. Top sellers. Men's clothing and shoes, small kitchen appliances, watches, and electronics. Poshmark. Built on the principle that buying and selling fashion items should be simple, social, and sustainable. Founded in 2011. Its scope is 80 million registered users in the U.S. and 200 million plus items for sale. The listing fee is none. Commissions $2.95 for sales under $15, 20% for sales over $15. Top sellers are Nike shoes, Lululemon apparel, Coach bags, Free People tops, and Victoria's Secret intimates and sleepwear. Craigslist, newspaper classifieds gone digital, founded in 1995. Craigslist had 164.4 million visits in May of this year and is one of the world's largest classified websites, with revenue of $660 million in 2021. There's no listing fee, no commission, best for large items for local pickup. Facebook Marketplace, Meta's marketplace where social networking meets resale shopping. Founded in 2016, its scope, all 2.98 billion Facebook users can access local community listings. There's no fee for listing. Commission is 5% with a minimum of 40 cents. Top sellers are women's clothing, collectibles, toys, and furniture. Apt Deco claims to be the easiest way to buy and sell used furniture. It was founded in 2014. Its scope is nationwide with more than $60 million in sales and 400,000 users. There's no listing fee. Commission can be up to 48%, however. Top sellers, dressers, sofas, dining tables, coffee tables, and beds, particularly from brands like Anthropologie, Blue Dot, Herman Miller, and West Elm. The Real Real markets itself as the world's largest online marketplace for authenticated resale luxury goods. It was founded in 2011. Its scope is global, with 32.5 million members as well as 12 physical retail locations in the U.S. There's no listing fee. The commission varies in category, from 20 to 70% of the sales price. Wow, 70%. High-value handbags and ready-to-wear clothes, particularly from brands like Chanel, Gucci, Hermes, and Louis Vuitton. Sideline Swap, a megastore for used athletic gear. It was founded in 2015. It has a scope of national with over 300,000 active listings. There's no listing fee. The commission is 12% on your first five sales, 10% after that. There's also a payment processing fee of 2.9% of the cost of the item, plus 30 cents. The top sellers are hockey equipment, baseball and softball bats, golf clubs, skis and snowboards, and lacrosse equipment. Discogs, the Internet's corner record store, a used marketplace for music collectors, was founded in 2000. Scope is global with 62 million listings. There's no listing fee, and the commission is 9%. Top sellers by artists in 2022, New Genea, Taylor Swift, Nathaniel Merriweather, by format, vinyl records, CDs, and cassettes. A word on taxes. When you sell something on eBay or somewhere for less than you originally paid for, the transaction generally doesn't need to be reported to the IRS, according to the agency. By contrast, if you sell something for more than you originally paid, according to the letter of the law, it's reportable. And if the total volume of your sales on any given platform exceeds $600 in a year, starting in 2023, the platform is required by law to issue you a 1099-K form for reporting purposes. Men's clothing and accessories among eBay's bestsellers and power tools with life left in them will probably find takers easily. Stay safe when you sell, and this is important. Take these precautionary steps whenever you're exchanging goods for money in person or not. When selling items online, there's always a chance you'll encounter a shady buyer or an outright scammer. So it's important to take precautions, especially when using a platform like Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist, where it's common to exchange cash for goods in person. Even when using a platform that's more anonymous, one that handles payments so that sellers and buyers don't have to exchange payment or banking information, and where goods are shipped and delivered rather than picked up, you'll still have to be careful. Tip number one, never take a transaction or discussion off the platform. Scammers may entice you by offering more than your asking price, for example, perhaps with the intention of ripping you off. Or they may falsely claim the goods you sold them never arrived or were damaged and demand that you make restitution. If anything about an interaction with a buyer feels amiss, contact the website's customer service or fraud department. Tip number two, for in-person transactions, always lay out all of the terms in advance, the price, type of payment, meeting location, and time. If possible, complete the transaction during daylight hours in a public place, like a police station. Hundreds of police stations in the U.S. participate in a program called Safe Trade, which was founded for Peter Zolman in 2015, to give online buyers and sellers a public meetup space that's under surveillance to finalize deals. Go to safetradespots.com to find one near you. Tip number three, if you're selling something so large that the buyer has to come to your home to see it, consider meeting at a police station in advance to photograph each other's IDs. Tell your buyer that it's for their protection as well as your own. Tip number four, be cautious about what kind of payment you accept. Cash is king, but say no to personal checks, which may bounce, or money orders and cashier's checks, which are easily counterfeited. Instead, use services such as PayPal, Venmo, and Zelle, because they allow you to receive payments for the item you're selling without having to give up your banking details. Another benefit, you can see that the money has been transferred into your account before you hand over the merchandise. How about a little bit of road report? Chevrolet Trax, first drive. The redesigned Trax is a subcompact SUV offered strictly in front-wheel drive. It's powered by a 1.2-liter turbocharged three-cylinder engine paired with a six-speed automatic transmission. Wow, a three-cylinder engine. The ride is comfortable, but handling is mundane. Our test car's relatively low price includes surprisingly generous features such as wireless Android Auto and Apple CarPlay and heated seats and steering wheel. See our take. The Trax packs in a lot of modern convenience and safety features for the price of a good used car. The price range is $20,400 to $23,900 with a destination charge of $1,000, and the price is driven was $24,600. How can I protect my car from theft? Over a million cars were stolen in 2022, according to the National Insurance Crime Bureau. To deter thieves, try to park in a safe, well-lit area, hide valuables, and lock the car. If your car doesn't have an anti-theft system requiring a key fob to start the engine, use a steering wheel lock or add an aftermarket alarm. Catalytic converter theft is also on the rise, and the cost to replace one can be as high as $3,500. If you regularly use public parking, consider installing a shield over the converter to deter thieves. It costs about $100 to $700. What are driving modes and how do I use them? The dashboard decoder. Available on many newer vehicles, these let drivers fine-tune their car's performance. The eco mode slows response when you press the accelerator pedal to improve efficiency. Sport mode is about performance. The engine revs higher for more power, shifts to a more crisp and steering firms up. Comfort mode offers a balance between eco and sport modes. It's well suited to everyday driving. Snow mode minimizes wheel spin on slippery surfaces by softening powertrain response and improving traction. Final statistic. The average age of our cars has gone up. The reason? Limited car availability and a challenging economy means we're holding on to our cars longer. They also hang together better. And there is one recall. General Motors, almost 1 million 2014 to 2017 Buick Enclave Acadia SUVs are being recalled because of concerns about a defect in the driver's airbag. The problem can cause an inflator rupture when the airbag is deployed, risking sharp metal fragments striking the driver or other occupants. This recall is in addition to previous recalls involving airbags from the supplier ARC Automotive. And what to do if you own one? General Motors dealership will replace the driver's airbag module free of charge. Owners can call Buick at 800-521-7300, Chevrolet at 800-222-1020, or GMC at 800-462-8782. How about a little humor before we close out? When Arsene came home on leave from Kistler Air Force Base in Biloxi, Mississippi, his thrilled little sister followed him everywhere, even into the bathroom to watch him shave. That's when she noticed a star tattoo on his shoulder. A few minutes later, she excitedly told me the news. Her brother got a star on his shoulder, probably for making his bed every day. Spotted. This sign at U.S. Army Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri. Drive carefully. Drive carefully. The man you run over may be your replacement. My unit was boarding a ship headed for a post-war Germany when a German sergeant holding a clipboard ordered us to sign up for kitchen duty. I'd had my share of scrubbing pots and pans in basic training, so I avoided the task by signing the name of an old friend, Alvin Harris. 3 times a day for 8 days, the ship loudspeaker blared, "Alvin Harris, report to the kitchen." My ruse was never discovered, but life eventually got even. After my Army service, I got married and had been washing dishes every day for the last 70 years. And one more. We all crave connection. In a study of how important Wi-Fi is to Americans, 45% of respondents said they couldn't live without it. Some even said they'd be willing to give up dining out 36%, sex 29%, or sleep 20% for 1 year to ensure that they had flawless high-speed Wi-Fi. Thank you, No. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening.